it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you're really underestimating the broad sexual appeal that I have.
Paul Charchian, fantasy football guru.
Did we get to find out now if all our fantasy drafts, we all love our teams right now.
Chief Execution Officer, Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com.
At the end of the day, can we agree? And Mark, you can feel free to chime in here too. At the end of the day, a general manager has to draft well. You, the backbone of your team is getting starters on rookie contract.
Paul Charchian with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we do want to know about fantasy football. That is why we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Paul Charchian, the chief execution officer of the Guillotine Leagues. He's the fantasy football guru. FantasyLife.com is where the Guillotine Leagues can be found. He's at Paul Charchian on X. Charch, it's been a minute. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm not happy the Cubs lost, but I am happy to be back, and I understand why you got to talk Cubs. Tell me this. The Bears win last week. Biggest win for Chicago in how long? Since when?
Oh, I posed this question. We never got an answer.
I guess it's probably what, quote, clinched, unquote, them the playoffs, whatever you want to call that, in 2020. Is that correct?
2020.
That's how I feel. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was the Justin Fields sliding in the rain game against the 49ers.
That was
to
awesome.
Open up the Eberflus
yes.
era. That was my original answer, but I know how that season ended.
Yeah, it feels bigger than that, Charles. Yeah. I don't have a good answer for you on that. It's the biggest win since I've lived in Chicago, I'll tell you that, from my vantage point.
I mean, it's huge. Absolutely huge, Marshall. And you look at the way that your team won, the exercising the demons from the previous year's Commanders game, your offensive line.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That is the best performance I can remember from a Bears offensive line. And the fact that your team is starting to use DeAndre Swift in a way that seems to work with him. He is not meant to be an A-gap straight ahead runner. He is a stretch runner, more of a lateral runner. Wait and let him build some momentum, use his vision, and then go. I love the deployment of Swift in this game. There were so many things that looked different in that Bears win. And it's exactly the kind of game the old Bears used to lose. And you just wonder if this isn't gonna be the game you look back and go, the Ben Johnson era started last week in that game.
I love to take charge, and yeah, I felt the same way. That was a game they lose last year for sure. Mm-hmm. And from a fantasy football standpoint, boy, did DeAndre Swift have a wonderful game. Like I think probably a lot of DeAndre Swift fantasy owners were happy about that.
Absolutely. And it hasn't been all good. I loved this deployment and the routes they were asking him to both run and catch. I just thought this looked like Ben Johnson's starting to figure out how to use DeAndre Swift. And, you know, we did see finally a carry for Roshan Johnson, first time all year. Kyle Manungai getting a little bit active too. But in an ideal world, Swift is good, and you can just use him like you did last week against, by the way, a pretty good Washington run defense too.
All right, so let's get right to it, Charge. Carolina running back Rico Dowdle. We are arguing over if his name is more fun than Cam Scataboo. I can tell you, I feel like his impact in fantasy has been bigger than Cam Scataboo's, even though he had 3 touchdowns last week and is the offensive player of the week in the NFC. Will the Panthers go back to Chuba Hubbard, though, as the starter?
Yeah, and Hubbard expected to be healthy for this game, unfortunately. By the way, so here's Dowdle. 473 total yards in 2 weeks. That is more than Saquon Barkley all year, Dowdle in the last 2 weeks. And I have to give you guys this trivia question. Going back to 1970, just 2 players have ever hit what Rico Dowdle just did, rushing and receiving in consecutive games. Either of you want to hazard a guess as to the 2 players who've managed to hit those receiving and rushing thresholds?
Is Deebo Samuel one?
No.
No, he couldn't get the rushing there.
LT. I'm going to go LT. LaDainian Tomlinson. Guess. No, Priest Holmes.
Walter Payton, one of them.
Oh.
And Saquon Barkley, the other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Walter Payton is up there in the Bears' history of receiving yards.
Yeah,
for sure. He's an underrated part of his game, I think, as for at least some of us, maybe not your listeners.
We'll have
of
his son on this program at 12:25 today here on Raheemy Harris and Grody.
Oh, I follow him on Twitter. Sharp kid. Not even kidding, really.
No, he's awesome.
He's absolutely a fully grown man now. I can confirm.
Yeah, he is at this point. Yeah, exactly. Can confirm. So you got Rico Dowdle, fifth-year starter, perpetual backup. These guys never break out in year five and do this. And right before he got this starting nod for Carolina 2 weeks ago, I looked up his metrics just to get a feel for what Rico had done. They were awful, worst in the league metrics, and you know the stuff that nerds like I care about, like yards after contact and broken tackle rate. And then he went crazy. What I'm worried they're going to do in Carolina now this week, with Chuba Hubbard coming back, is they're going to say, let's use a hot hand approach. They'll have some deference to the veteran Hubbard. He'll get on the field some, and they'll get Rico Dowdle on the field, and then they'll go with whoever's better. And from a fantasy standpoint, we hate the hot hand approach because you can't guess what's coming.
Now, Rashee Rice, charged for the Chiefs, he returns from suspension. Yeah. Is he somebody you'd recommend starting immediately?
We're going to put him right into the starting lineup. Fully healthy. People forget he had a knee injury all last year that knocked him out for the year. But with the six-week suspension, he's that much healthier off the knee. And by all reports, he's at 100% health. And remember last year, he played three games. Layla, he was the highest scoring fantasy receiver in the league in those three games. Nice matchup against the Raiders secondary this coming weekend. But what nobody's talking about with Rashee Rice, and here's what I really want to impart to your listeners. It's not so much about starting Rashee Rice, which you were probably going to do anyway. Travis Kelce got killed by Rice in those three games last year. Kelce did not score. He had a 34-yard game, a zero-yard game, and a 30-yard game in those three Rashee Rice games because Rashee Rice catches all this stuff over the middle of the field. That's Travis Kelce's territory. And Kelce hasn't been used much anyway. So if you've got Kelce, this might be like your last chance to get out.
Guess who's got Kelce?
And sell high.
Guess who's got Travis Kelce?
Start sending out some trade offers on Travis Kelce.
Still Marshall. Waiting for George Kittle to come
back.
Yeah,
I was going to say, so your guys are Kelce and Kittle.
Well, Kittle's coming back. He's coming back this week.
Well, I guess he needs to because I see where we are right now. Also, I did not draft one of my better moves, I guess. I did not draft Travis Hunter, and those who did have been not pleased with his performances, I understand.
No, it's been terrible. He's fantasy wide receiver 57, Marshall. And I mean, remember the whole draft, it's like he was the most talked about guy heading into the draft. Travis Hunter, Jaguars move up to go get him at pick number 2, and he hasn't topped 64 yards. He hasn't scored yet. And when we think about Travis Hunter at Colorado, he's making all these great downfield catches, weaving through traffic, making slappies miss, breaking tackles. And this Jaguars version of Travis Hunter, totally different. He is in the bottom 10% of all wide receivers in depth of target. Here we are heading into week 7. Hunter's got 2 catches longer than 9 yards. That's it. His playing time's getting eaten up by Dyami Brown and Parker Washington. What are we even doing here? Hunter was the second player taken in the draft. Liam Cohen says he's going to use him more. I hope so. He needs to start. He's got the Rams this Sunday. It's a middle-of-pack secondary, but I'll believe it when I see it. I've got Travis Hunter at wide receiver 51 going into this week.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked amongst ourselves, Charge, about the value of Bijan Robinson after Raheem Morris said he's the best player in the league. Where do you place him in the value that you have with him and relative to all the other running backs this year?
Number one at running back. If drafts are being held today, if you're going to start a brand new fantasy league today and draft, Bijan Robinson would almost certainly be the first player taken. It would have been Puka Nacua if he were healthy, but I don't think Puka's going to play this week, international game, and then I think he goes on bye, so I don't think we're going to see him for 2 weeks. What Bijan is doing is, it's a little bit like what we saw with Saquon last year, where everything's going his way. He's making amazing, amazing plays on the ground and through the air. And he's reached a whole different level of success. People can't tackle him. His avoided tackle rate is at a career high. Bijan is, he's cooking right now. He's the best player in fantasy football.
Okay, let's talk about tonight. Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Cincinnati, the Steelers get one step closer to a division championship. What do you see in this game? What needs to be done concerning this matchup?
Well, let's say you're Marshall and you might need a tight end. If you think like me that this is going to be dicey, here is your sneaky tight end play for anybody else. And maybe on bye this week is Mark Andrews on bye. Dalton Kincaid's on bye. So maybe you need a tight end. Cincinnati tight end Noah Fant is not somebody who normally plays, available in 99% of leagues. Mike Gesicki, their starting tight end, just went on IR. Their other tight end, Tanner Hudson, is in the concussion protocol. He's not going to go. Noah Fant's going to be your starter. And Joe Flacco, this is like the only thing he can really functionally do at this stage of his career, is pelt his tight ends with targets. In Cleveland, in those 5 weeks he was the starter, the Browns had the second most tight end targets, second most tight end receptions. And then last week, Flacco makes his debut in Cincinnati. He threw to his tight ends 11 times. The only tight end left standing is Noah Fant. That is your sneaky play tonight.
Okay, just going with the tight end thing, I just want to let you know I'm not defunct when it comes to tight ends. I do have on my roster.
It sounds pretty defunct,
well,
Marshall.
I have George Kittle, yes, who's been on our IR, but I do have Travis Kelce. I have Cade Otton, and I also have A.J. Barner. I've got to put somebody out of their misery to bring back George Kittle. Who should I get rid of?
Yeah, Barner's out. And Otton is potentially sitting on a big game because there'll be no Mike Evans, no Amika Egbuka, no Chris Godwin for the next Tampa game. And when those guys missed last year, there was a stretch of five games when Godwin was out and Evans was out last year. Cade Otton was tight end two. So this is, do not let Cade Otton go. He is going to be very, very usable for you. And for listeners, he's available in over half of leagues. You can go get him, and you're going to be able to start him during this run with all these receivers hurt for Tampa.
And you're an Aaron Rodgers believer, correct? He's also good in fantasy, just like he is in real life.
This is not the narrative anybody wanted, right? I mean, I think we're all, especially in Chicago, me in Minnesota, like, we would just want to be done with Aaron Rodgers. We've been living this experience for 20 years. He is a top 10 quarterback in touchdown passes, completion percentage, passer rating, and interceptions. He's only thrown three all year. And he's done it with one wide receiver, DK Metcalf. I mean, most of your listeners can't even name the other receivers on this team. And Calvin Austin, who is the best of their other receivers, he's not going to play tonight. They're going to have to be creative, but Aaron Rodgers loves to just go to his alpha receivers, right? When it was Davante Adams in Green Bay, he would just use him almost exclusively. Then last year, it was also Davante Adams using him almost exclusively. And now DK Metcalf almost exclusively. Teams still can't stop it. Aaron Rodgers feeds his alpha receivers. Teams know it's coming, and they still can't do anything about it. And that's going to be the case tonight against the Bengals.
Inevitable. Thank you so much, Charge. It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Charge.
Tons of fun. We missed you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Same. That's Paul Charchi, and glad he's back. And unfortunately, because of the Cubs' loss in the playoffs, but we're glad he's back. Coming up next, it is halftime, and there's an upcoming ordinance that I think affects more people in Chicago than you might even realize.
They're doing some things that are revolutionary across the pond that we got to talk. Well, not that pond, across the Pacific. That we got to talk about, because I don't know if it's a good idea.
The big pond?
Yeah, the biggest ocean in the world, the Pacific.
Nobody ever talks about the Indian Ocean. Doesn't get a lot of credit.
I'll tell you what nobody's talking about.
I know, it's a fun place. Like, there's a lot of cool islands there. Anywho, not ocean talk, but other things. Halftime is next here at Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.